It's that time again. Time for the Catholic Answers as yet unnamed game show. You can play along at home. Test your knowledge of the Catholic faith. Play with the kids, Grandma, Grandpa, Uncle Fester, Lurch, the whole gang. I am your game show host, Cy Kellett, and it's time to introduce this week's super secret celebrity guest. You know him as the world-famous robo-apologist, the Commander Data on the Bark of Peter. Please give a great big game show welcome to Jimmy Akin. Calm the cheering down. People, sit down, everybody.
You know what? With those Addams Family references, I do resemble Cousin It, especially if I'm wearing my bowler and sunglasses.
Cousin It was the hair guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But who was the... That was Thing?
Thing was,
the hand that pointed around. Yeah, that to me was the creepiest.
And Thing's girlfriend was named?
I have no clue.
Ladyfingers.
Oh, nice. Nicely done, Addams Family. I think you and I have a disagreement on that. And we're going to get to the game show. Don't worry. It's a great big game show. But I am more of a Munsters fan, and I think you're more of a
Addams Family fan. I like them both.
I
like the Addams Family because they don't fit into easily identifiable categories the way the Munsters do.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's right. Yeah. Well, let's introduce our contestants on the Great Big Game Show today. The way you get to be a contestant on the game show is, first of all, you have to be a member of Radio Club, which is just you give us your email address and we send you an email each week with all kinds of cool free stuff. If you would like to join Radio Club, you just go to CatholicAnswersLive.com and there's a little banner that'll pop up. You put your email address in there and you become a member of Radio Club. You become our best friend for life and you become eligible to play on the game show. Our two guests today are Contestant 1 and Contestant 2. But they have other names as well. Contestant 1, I believe. Do I have this correct? Is Contestant 1 Eric? Okay. Contestant 1 is Eric Witt.
Ready Player 1.
Ready Player 1. Are you there, Eric?
Yes, I'm here. I thought I was Contestant 2.
Oh, so I just got him in the wrong order here. I knew something. Well, you know what? We have these technical difficulties at the beginning, so I will now refer to you as Contestant number 2, Eric Witt. Eric, where are you calling from, and what's interesting about you?
I'm calling from Navarre, Florida. I'm a little east of Pensacola, Florida, in the panhandle here. I grew up in Chicago. I consider myself a cradle Catholic, only that I was baptized as a baby Catholic, and it took me several years to come back into the church. Now I'm happily married for 27 years now, and I'm ready to play the game.
All right. 27 years of marriage, and how many years as a Catholic? Well, we don't know, but all that should have prepared you for this game. So we're going in reverse order today. Contestant number 1 is David Hejidusik. David, are you with us?
I am. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks so much for being with us. And where are you calling from, and what's interesting about you?
I'm calling from the thriving metropolis of Helotes, Texas, which is right outside San Antonio.
Oh.
Cradle Catholic. Been married for a little bit over 30 years, and I have three wonderful young adult children.
Oh, well, that is great. And that booming metropolis, what do they do there? Like, what are you known for?
Driving into San Antonio to work.
Mm-hmm. So I see.
Happens a lot there.
I see. Jimmy, you're familiar with San Antonio, Texas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My papa, my father's father, used to live in one of the suburbs there.
And contestants, you're both familiar with our super secret celebrity guest, Jimmy Akin?
Oh, indeed.
Was that some shame?
I even have a secret club they can join.
That's right. You can join the secret club, right? Jimmy has a secret club. Well, let's do the rules, first of all. I know that the two of you are familiar with the rules.
All these rules, man.
I know. It's a rule-based religion, Jimmy. Real quick, we're going to play three rounds today, God willing. The first two rounds you play against one another. You'll have three questions each in round 1, three questions each in round 2. All of those are multiple choice questions. The player who gets the most right out of 6 is the winner of rounds 1 and 2 and goes on to round 3, which we call Final Judgment. So you're playing in the hopes of going on to Final Judgment.
And that needs to be the name of the show.
You think Final Judgment should be the name of the show?
Yeah, I mean, loads of game shows name themselves after their final segment. I mean, you know, the $25,000 pyramid, you don't start playing for $25,000.
That's
the end goal.
Yeah.
Who wants to be a millionaire? You're not doing a million right at the beginning.
So final judgment. You don't think it's
No.
Because I'm afraid that people will look on the schedule and it'll be like Friday is final judgment, and then they're going to panic.
No, you just put the words game show after it on the schedule. Oh, final judgment game show.
That does tone it down a little bit. Yeah, because if Catholic Answers told me final judgment was coming up next Friday, I don't know what I would do. David and Eric, contestant one and contestant two, you also have. Not lifelines, we call them salvation lines here. If you are having trouble with one of the first six questions, you can do one of two things. You can ask Jimmy to eliminate one wrong answer, and he will do that. Or you can ask Jimmy just to give you the correct answer, and he will do that. The only catch there being Jimmy will have to say the correct answer in Pig Latin.
You don't want regular Latin?
I don't know that that would be fair.
I don't speak Pig Latin.
That's what makes it fun, Jimmy. You should. I don't know if you heard Carlo on the last one speaking Pig Latin.
No,
but
I didn't.
It was an utter disaster, and that's what. No offense to Carlo, but you know he.
I think by his own admission, it was a new experience.
Yeah, he had never done it before. Mm-hmm. All the rules to rounds one and two clear to you, gentlemen?
Yes.
All right. Let us begin then. Contestant number one, that is David. Question number one for you. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this. You need to let me read the entire question and all of the answers before you give your answer, please, only because we have people playing at home and we don't want them to miss out on the opportunity to hear all of the potential answers before they give their answer.
And also some of the answers could be tricky. You might hear one that sounds right, but then it's got a little thing you need to think about in it first.
Yes, I tried to be tricky on some of them. Mm-hmm. I actually went out of my way to be tricky. If you get a correct answer, you're going to hear this sound. And if you get the answer wrong, you're going to hear this sound. And we begin. Contestant number one, David Hedjadusik, your first question. Evangelization means A, care for the poor. B, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. C, forgiving sins.
I'm going to go with B, proclaiming the good news.
You are correct.
Yeah, how about that?
And how do we get proclaiming the good news from evangelization, Jimmy?
Well, so the Greek word for gospel or good news is euangelion. And so that comes across into English as evangel, and therefore proclaiming the evangel or the good news is evangelization.
I gotcha.
With that, it's also got that Greek suffix on it, ezo, which is frequently used to mean a process making something.
Oh.
So means good.
Like euphoria?
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. Congratulations, David, contestant number one. Contestant number two, Eric, your first question. At what age are diocesan bishops required to submit their resignations? A, 80. B, 75. C, it's up to the bishop to decide for himself.
I'm almost certain it's 80.
Yeah, no, actually 80 is, and it's not surprising you might have some confusion on that point because 80 is the age at which cardinals can no longer vote in a papal conclave. But bishops are required to I warned you, so I could be tricky. Mm-hmm. Bishops are required to submit their resignation to the Pope at age 75. But he isn't required to accept it then. So in some cases, they'll serve in office longer than 75.
So that means Eric has to go home now, right? We're done with Eric?
He gets to keep going.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I needed some help with the rules there, Eric. I thought you were done. We go back to contestant number one, David. David, your second question. Who is the current Pope Emeritus? A, Francis. B, Benedict. C, no one. That title doesn't exist.
Well, that is a trick question. Oh, goodness. I'm going to ask Jimmy to eliminate an answer for me.
Okay. I'm going to be nice, unlike Cy, and eliminate an answer that should hopefully clarify it. I'm going to eliminate Francis. He's the current pope, not a pope emeritus.
That does not help me at all.
Oh, really?
Well, because I don't know that the emeritus is an official title, so that's why I'm kind of hanging on C there. But I'll go with Benedict B.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yes, you are correct. It is. And so it would, you feel it would have been more helpful if Jimmy had said the no one. That was the one that was stumping you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I knew Francis was. I just didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. was an official title.
Well, official title would be debatable, but so this is another case of Cy being tricky. but colloquially, he's referred to as the Pope Emeritus, and that's based on other similar uses. If someone's like formerly a professor at a university, they're called a professor emeritus and so forth.
All right, got to keep moving. We're still in the midst of round one. We go now to contestant number two, Eric Witt. Eric, your second question. What is one title for the Holy Spirit? A, Messiah. B, Paraclete. C, Queen of Mercy.
Okay, I should use a lifeline, but I'm going to go ahead and say B, Paraclete.
Paraclete, yep, that's correct.
You are correct. I have no idea what that means, Jimmy.
The Greek word parakletos means a person who is called. Its etymology is it's a person who's called to your side. You call them, and the context was in courts. So you would call someone to help you in court, and that's why it's sometimes translated counselor. In English, like a counsel, you would have a counselor in court. It's also sometimes translated comforter. The root meaning, though, is one who's called alongside you. And surprisingly, a lot of people don't realize this, but the Holy Spirit is not the only person described in the New Testament as a paraclete. Cy Kellett, for bonus points, who is the other person in the New Testament described as a paraclete?
Jesus.
Yes, that's right. Jesus is our other paraclete.
I get a bonus point. I can give that bonus point to anyone I want, right?
If you made the rules, so sure.
Making them up as I go along. We're going to have to hold you in suspense. We are in the midst of round one. Still a final question in round one to see who takes it. We're going to take a quick break at Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back with our great big giant unnamed game show right after this.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hello, my friends. Summer is here. That means summer reading. I have great news. Catholic Answers is having its first ever summer book sale in the online shop at catholic.com. For a limited time, you can get dozens of great books offered at $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. Now is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for yourself, your friends, and your family. Save 50% or more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of great authors. And my personal favorite, all the books in our Catholic Answers Classic series are marked down as well. Log on now and all this month to the store at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our first ever summer sale. Log on today at shop.catholic.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited time offer we've got right now on subscriptions of our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription of the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or by logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription, and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. But better yet, become a two-year subscriber, and we'll up the ante by dropping the price by $20. That's a savings of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now, because this is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011. Or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Love that game show music. And when you hear that game show music, you know it's time for the great big Catholic Answers as yet unnamed game show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. Our super secret celebrity guest this week is Jimmy Akin. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey there. It's not a secret anymore. I mean, you announced it.
Oh, that's true.
In fact, you announced it yesterday and Tuesday also.
I didn't say I'm good at keeping secrets. I just said it's super secret. Jimmy's most recent massive tome, I shouldn't have said it that way. You have smaller books like the 20 Answers books, but your biggest, your
large book,
recent
full size book,
is A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist, and it is among the prizes being offered in today's game show. We'll get to the prizes later. Our contestants are David Hegedusich and Eric Witt. They have each gone through the first two questions of round one. We are now on question three of round one for David. David, your third question and final question of round one. Catholics believe that after we die, A, we are freed forever from our bodies. B, we are separated from our bodies only for a time. C, we know we will be happy, but we don't know what happens to our bodies.
B, we're separated from our bodies for a time.
Nicely done.
Yeah, that's right. That's because we believe in the resurrection. You often hear this idea in our culture, and it's often in like cartoons and things, that when you die, a transparent version of you goes up to heaven and sits on a cloud forever. But that's not true.
A transparent. It's like, hey, I'm see-through Jimmy now.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Or Sue Storm.
Yeah.
And in actuality, we're going to be raised just like Jesus was. St. Paul says that apparently some people in the Corinthian church were confused about this. And so St. Paul tells them, how can you people be saying there's no resurrection when Jesus was raised?
Yeah.
And he's just the first fruits of the resurrection, the first fruits being the first part of a harvest.
Oh, yeah.
So we're the rest of the harvest, which will occur on the last day.
Looking forward to it. It's probably even better than the great big unnamed Catholic Answers game show. Your final question, excuse me, Eric Witt of round one. This concludes round one at the end of this question. Eric, the liturgical year begins A, on Easter, B, on Christmas, C, on the first Sunday of Advent.
I would say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and use Jimmy here and have him give me the answer this time.
Oh, so
this
you just
my
want,
last question.
You just want him to tell you the answer.
Yeah.
And you know that he has to do it in Pig Latin.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to do that.
Okay, thank you. God bless you for that, brother. Thanks. Jimmy Akin, in Pig Latin, the correct answer is?
Nioe ide erst fe unde se feoe dvenint a.
Nicely done. What about a little applause in the control room for Jimmy Akin? That was impressive. So having heard the correct answer in Pig Latin, Eric, you say?
C, Advent. Was it C?
Yes, C, on the first Sunday of Advent. You are correct. We have now concluded the first round. Our score stands 3 correct answers out of 3 for David, 2 correct answers out of 3 for Eric. Is that correct? Everyone recognize that as correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All righty.
Yep.
We move on now to round 3. Some of your lifelines have been used.
Round 2.
We move on to round 2. I apologize. Some of your lifelines have been used. Some remain. Question number 1 for contestant number 1. That would be David. David, your question to start round 2. 3 of the apostles were present for the transfiguration. They were A, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. B, Peter, Paul, and John. C, John, Peter, and James. Or D, John, Paul, and Ringo.
I'm going to go with C on this one.
Peter, John, and James is the correct answer.
You are right. But I changed the order of them because I always think people think Peter, James, and John, they go together.
Mm-hmm,
right?
They do.
But
and
if I changed it.
It would sound a little, you'd have to think about it more.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And so that was another side being tricky. But he got the right answer, which is awesome. It's interesting. In this case, Peter's brother Andrew doesn't get to go.
What's that about?
And he was one of the core four as well. So he didn't actually get to go on every occasion. And you kind of wonder how he must have felt about that.
Because I never thought of that, but yeah, kind of.
We know because they argued about it. You know, who's the greatest, and you know, had probably some kind of verbal rap battle smackdown about it.
But
we know there were some kind of rivalries among the 12. This was a kind of a sensitive issue.
Hmm. So maybe Andrew had gotten himself in trouble somehow.
Maybe.
We don't
Something
know.
To think about.
I would love to hear some Aramaic rap battles, though. Eric, your first question of round two. Baptism does not, and I'm not trying to trick you on this one, so I want to be clear. You need to tell me what baptism does not do. Okay, Eric?
Okay.
All right. Question one. Baptism does not, A, make us a Christian, B, make us members of a parish, C, make us heirs of heaven.
I would say B, make us members of a parish.
That's right. Yeah.
You are correct.
Joining a parish is a different thing.
And
it is, at least it's not intrinsically accomplished by baptism. Now, if let's say you're being baptized in a parish as a baby, let's say you're going to be written on that parish's baptismal register, and you're going to count for canon law purposes as a member of that parish. But that's not intrinsic to baptism.
Right.
Because if you're being baptized on a desert island and there's no parish there, you're not suddenly miraculously attached to a parish in your hometown or something.
St. Mary's of Desert Island. You could just name it your own parish.
I think that was on Gilligan's Island.
Did they have a St. Mary's there on Gilligan's Island?
I think the professor was secretly a priest.
Oh,
there were a lot of priest scientists, you know.
There, I know.
Father George Lemaitre, for example.
Right, and Gregor Mendel.
Yeah,
right. All right, question number two, round two for David. David, your question. Apostolic succession, A, is given to the Pope alone as the head of the church. B, is handed on by the laying on of hands. C, ended when the last apostle died.
B, passed on with the laying of hands.
You are correct.
That's correct.
This is the strangest game show moment in history, because at the same exact moment that you gave the correct answer, our chaplain came in to bless the chapel, which he does once a month.
With holy water. Aspergill.
So that was a blessed answer that you gave.
I wasn't close enough to get splashed, though. I'm disappointed.
I know. I was surprised he didn't go after you.
We didn't get the laying on of hands, though.
No, we did not.
Yeah. But that's the correct answer to this question.
The correct answer, laying on of hands.
Through episcopal ordination.
So you are a successor to the apostles if you're a bishop, not
correct.
Just if you're the pope.
Correct.
And you knew it.
And it obviously didn't end when the last apostle died, or it wouldn't be apostolic succession, because no one would have succeeded.
Oh, well, I knew you would
apostles.
Get that. Yeah. Okay, question number two for you, Eric. Mary Magdalene was A, the wife of Herod Antipas, B, liberated from demons by Jesus, C, the first person to see Jesus walk on water.
Ooh. Oh, wait. Okay, that was a trick question.
let me go with
B, unless you're going to say something else. But.
You are right.
B is correct, yeah. We don't know whose wife she was. In fact, she probably was not anybody's wife. And the way we know that is because of the way she's referred to as Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala. Magdala is a place. And ordinarily in Jewish culture, if you were female, you would be called after one of your male relations, either your husband if you were married or your father if you were not married. And so, you know, you could be Mary the wife of Joseph.
Yeah.
Or Mary the daughter of Saul or whatever. But the fact Mary Magdalene is called Mary of Magdala tells us where she's from, Magdala, which is a little city on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. But it also tells us she didn't have a husband. She didn't have a father. She also, and the tricky part was, she was the first person to see Jesus after he rose from the dead, but not the first person to see him walk on water.
And Eric, you handled that like a pro. For a second, you were taken in, but then you were like, no, not walk on water. That is not correct. Nicely done, Eric.
Gotta pay attention.
I'm going to have to create a new thing called the speed question, because we're coming. We're going to come up on a hard break pretty soon. I'm going to read you your question. You don't have to go fast. I'm just going to read it real quick to you here. Your third question in round two, David, is: God told Saint Paul that my grace is sufficient for you, because Paul asked A, that God free him from prison; B, that God take away a thorn in his flesh; or C, that God send him missionary helpers. Is that question clear to you, David?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I know the answer, but since this is the last question, I'm going to use my lifeline and have Jimmy answer it for me.
Okay, so the answer is athe, adge, ekte, weae, aa, ornthe, in a is hey eshflay.
We need some applause for that, Jimmy. Very nicely done. Does that help you, David?
Yes. Remove the thorn from the flesh.
Very good.
It was right. Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Catholic Answers' still unnamed game show with the final question of round two for Eric right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Sharing the gospel with family and friends can be challenging. It's especially hard when they won't even hear you out because of all the mental roadblocks they've built up. This is Carlo Broussard, and in my new book, Prepare the Way, my aim is to help you tackle that essential first step to apologetics and evangelization, getting people to listen with an open mind. Even our best witness can bounce right off folks like these if we don't prepare the way first, breaking down barriers and leaving minds and souls free to encounter the truth. I'll give you evidence and arguments and step-by-step strategies based on asking the right questions to help them overcome their obstacles and make a straight path for the Lord. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows, and I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Yeah. Those are the smooth sounds of the Catholic Answers as yet unnamed game show. We might not be able to afford a title for the show, but it's still the most important game show on the face of the earth. Science proves it. I am Cy Kellett, your host. We're in the midst of our game show. Our super secret celebrity guest is Jimmy Akin. Jimmy is the senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. Recently celebrated his 25th anniversary of coming to Catholic Answers, and he's the author of A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist, which, by the way, when we finish round two, we will have one contestant going on to play round three, and mm-hmm. one will receive a prize, uh-huh. a parting prize, and it will be
hey.
a signed copy. I didn't tell you nope. you had to sign a book, Jimmy. Sorry.
you're changing the rules on me.
I know.
Now.
I come from a big
happy
family.
Happy to do it.
We change the rules all the time. A signed copy of a daily defense, 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist. We go now to Eric, your final question in round two, and then we'll sum it all up. Eric, from the first two rounds, your question, Peter taught that what covers a multitude of sins? A, sorrow. B, prayer. C, love.
What did you say A was again?
Okay, let me just give you the whole question. Peter taught that what covers a multitude of sins? A, sorrow. B, prayer. C, love.
Wow, I'm going to have Jimmy take one of those away.
Okay, I'm going to be nice and take the one that is probably the most helpful answer, misleading answer away.
Okay.
It is not prayer.
Okay, it is not prayer. I love that answer, Jimmy. Okay, so you have two.
I mean, I'm not saying prayer wouldn't do it, but that's not the Bible verse you're thinking of.
No, mm-hmm. Right. What is it? It's in the first letter of St. Peter?
That's
is
right.
It? That's yeah. Where he says it. So is it that sorrow covers a multitude of sins, or love covers a multitude of sins? Eric?
Well, thanks for taking that away. It leaves me with love.
Hey, good.
And well, that's all you need.
As John Lennon said. well, let's sum them up. Let's see, can we use the Catholic Answers supercomputer, please, to sum up how we did in rounds two? There were six questions in round two. The rule is whoever gets the most out of six correct moves on to round three. The second place finisher receives a fantastic prize, a signed copy of A Daily Defense, 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist. What does the supercomputer say? The winner is... David, you, without missing a single question, a perfect score. You are the winner of rounds one and two. Thank you so much, David. Eric, Eric, will you stay on the line and make sure that you give Marie your address so we can send you a signed copy of A Daily Defense?
Okay, that's awesome. Thanks.
All right. We really appreciate it. Love does indeed cover a multitude of sins. We move now to round three. And let me explain. Round three is super complicated. You need a college degree to understand it. I'm going to ask you, David, seven true or false questions. Each question you will be playing for a prize. If you get the question right, you get the prize. If you get the question wrong, you don't.
Is that fair?
I wonder if that is fair. I feel like it's fair to David. Do you feel like that's a fair way to do it, David?
As long as I get a trophy at the end.
Oh, everybody gets a trophy, man. Okay, very good.
Don't make promises you have no intention of keeping.
Well, at some point in your life, you'll get a trophy. That's what I meant. Final Judgment is the name of this. So we are about to pass Final Judgment on you, David. Seven true or false questions. If you get them, if you get each question that you get correct, you win the corresponding prize too. If you get all seven correct, you win, in addition to all seven prizes, a $50 gift certificate to shop.catholic.com. David, I know that is intense, but are you prepared?
I'm ready. My heart is racing.
Okay.
You need a beta blocker.
Your first question, true or false question, David, you are playing for Why God Still Matters, a DVD from Carlo Broussard. Why God Still Matters. True or false, David? Jesus said, salvation is from the Jews.
Dun, 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 I'm going to say false.
Oh, no, I'm afraid he actually did say that. He said it to the Samaritan woman when he was having a conversation with her there was a controversy between Samaritans and Jews about where they were supposed to worship God. The Jews said that you were supposed to worship God on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and the Samaritans said that you were supposed to worship at the temple on Mount Gerizim in Samaria. In fact, they still worship there. They go up there every Passover and kill the Passover lambs. But this is a divinely ordained thing.
Oh, I apologize.
But Jesus indicated that in the future, neither place was going to be where God wanted. But he did acknowledge the unique role of the Jewish people in God's plan of salvation, and thus said salvation is from the Jews. It's not surprising that one might struggle with that a bit, because St. Paul said a lot of things on the same topic. Salvation is first for the Jews and then for the Gentile.
I see. I gotcha. So this a similar sounding kind of thing. David, you ready for question number two?
I am.
Also a true or false question, and you're playing for Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic.
Hold it up to the microphone so people can see it on the radio.
Oh. Jimmy Akin, I totally just followed his directions, and now I look like a fool on the whole internet. The book is Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love by Trent Horn. I'm holding it up to the camera, not the microphone now. True or false, David, the Bible gives Mary the title Mother of God.
That is false.
That is false.
You
is
are
true.
Correct. But I thought, Jimmy, she is the Mother of God.
She is. The Bible just doesn't give her that title.
Oh.
And so that's an inference. It's something that's not made explicit in the Bible, but it is implied by biblical principles.
Nicely done. Is that what did you know that, David, that it was something that we understand from the principles of the Bible but is never stated in the Bible?
Yes.
Oh, you're smart then. All right.
Were you suggesting I was just guessing?
I wasn't suggesting
a thing. He was totally suggesting that. I mean, totally.
Look, I'm the guy who just held a book up to the microphone so people could see it on the radio. You're not. I'm not the critic of anyone. Question number three, you're playing for Behold Your Mother, a Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. That is by Tim Staples, the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here, who is currently recovering from surgery, and we're keeping him in our prayers. Seems to be doing very, very well. Your question, David, true or false? All popes after Peter have been elected by the College of Cardinals.
I'm going to say that's false.
That's false is true.
That's confusing. It is false.
Well, you hear the ding. That means he got it right.
Yeah, right.
So we don't exactly know the details of how all of the early popes after Peter were elected. We don't have the records. We have some indications. We know that, like, the clergy of Rome was involved in picking them at some point. But the College of Cardinals hadn't yet developed historically. So it wasn't around to elect some of the early ones.
Okay, David, big shot. Were you guessing on that one or did you know it?
No, I assumed that the College of Cardinals didn't exist back in the early days.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Is there a strategy of just when you ask a question like that, just repeat whatever I just said in other words? Because that would be a successful strategy. Oh. I think he's a smart guy.
Your fourth question, you are playing now for Carlo Broussard's brand new book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Your question number four, David, true or false? Reincarnation is not accepted as real by the Catholic Church.
I'll say that's a true statement.
It's true. It is not accepted as real.
So,
although that's a kind of a tricky question. I mean, when I first saw these the other day after you wrote them, it's like as real.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I kind of snagged on that and thought, okay, I got to.
Maybe you could tell me these things before
words?
We're on nationally broadcast radio.
I did tell you to rephrase the bishop one.
Yes, that's true. I had, I sent my questions out for some people to look at them.
I didn't want to nitpick.
Fair enough. But you are not bothered at all by my quirky wording of things, and I do have a quirky way of wording things. You, David,
have a unique style.
A unique style called you are playing for a book called Mass Revision. That is by our own Jimmy Akin.
We have physical copies of that to send people?
Oh, wait. What's it called now?
Well, no. It's called Mass Revision, but I don't know that we have physical copies in stock.
Really? I was told I could give any book in the catalog. Should I give The Drama of Salvation instead?
Let's do that.
Okay. Let's give you The Drama of Salvation, a fantastic book by Jimmy Akin. And if we have a physical copy, I'll also send you Mass Revision. True or false? Pope John Paul II often spoke of the new evangelization.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. That, along with theology of the body, was one of his pet phrases that he introduced into general church discourse from his personal idiolect.
Okay, data. So we're going to need the supercomputer to break that one down for me, please.
Idios is Greek for one's own or personal.
Right.
And idiolect is a term linguists use for the way an individual person speaks. It's slurring together of idios for personal and dialect, your personal
enough.
Dialect.
And another big one that he – I don't know if he coined it, but he certainly used it a lot was culture of life.
Mm-hmm. He definitely popularized that.
Yeah. And I thought it worked really well. Mm-hmm. That was a very good pro-life kind of term for people. Well, we're up to question number 6 out of your 7 questions, but we have to take a break. So can you stand the suspense to wait for your 2 questions, David?
I'll hang in there.
Okay.
I've come this far.
All right. Just put your head down between your knees if it's too exciting. We will be right back with more of the Catholic Answers as yet untitled game show with super secret celebrity guest Jimmy Akin right after this.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Summer is upon us, and though the temperatures are going up, the prices are coming down during Catholic Answers' first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, dozens of great books are available for $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. This is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for you, your friends, and your family. The spectacular online event offers savings of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions of our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription of the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or by logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a 1-year subscription, and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. But better yet, become a 2-year subscriber, and we'll up the ante by dropping the price by $20. That's a savings of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now because this is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011. Or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Welcome back. That's not our usual music. And if you're surprised to hear it, well, every now and then now, we do a game show on Fridays where we invite a super secret celebrity guest to come in and help our contestants answer questions. And also to give us some insights into those questions and answers, our guest today is Jimmy Akin, our senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. He's currently helping, but not in round three. In round three, we don't offer help. We just let you answer a true or false question. And so our remaining contestant...
I'm facilitating by adding badinage.
I have no words. I have no words. You're adding what?
Badinage.
Well, I'm glad you're adding
repartee,
it.
Wordplay.
Oh,
between
okay.
You and me.
Badinage. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if I was supposed to hit a dump button when you said that, frankly. I don't know if EW10 is saying, you can't use that language on the air. David Hedjadusik is our guest. I'm sorry that I struggle with your name, David. David Hedjadusik. Are you there with us, David?
Sure.
You're kind of killing it. Out of the entire show today,
you... No wrong questions.
One. Salvation is from the Jews.
That's right. Yeah. In
Salvation is,
yeah.
Salvation is from the Jews. Yeah. But you're definitely killing it. You got 2 more prizes available for you to win. Question number 6 of the true or false, you're playing for Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, the revised second edition of Gary Machuda's.
Machuda.
I got a little
Boston
there for
accent.
A second.
Yeah.
Thought it was Erotic over there.
Accent.
Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, the revised second edition of Gary Machuda's fine book. Your true or false question is this. True or false, David? Jesus could control the weather.
That's another one of your trick questions.
Wait, can I just say something?
Could.
Can I just say something real quick here, David? Just between you and me. This is not a trick question.
This is not trick. Yeah, this is easy.
I'll say true. He could.
You are correct,
that's
sir.
Right.
Do you have any examples of that in mind?
Calming the storm, I guess. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I'm sure that's one that Cy was thinking about as well.
That is the
Jesus
one.
Jesus could control the weather better than harp.
But that's a conspiracy theory, Jimmy Akin. You're just having conspiracy theories on our program today. Now, listen, David, when you said it was – you kind of panicked me when you said you thought it was a trick question. You were probably going to say that his human nature couldn't control the weather, but his divine nature could or something like that. Is that what you were thinking I was trying to get to?
Well, and I was even thinking more in our current age of does he make hurricanes and thunderstorms that dump on top of my house?
So actually, Jimmy, could you explain that? Because there's different ways. Everything is dependent on God, but there are things that God permits but doesn't cause.
Yeah, and so one way of looking at natural disasters, and I actually have a section in A Daily Defense that's devoted to this. A lot of things that we consider natural disasters are because of human perspective that we assume. Really, it's just energy moving around. And God did set up the laws of physics to move energy around the way we see in our universe. So in a broad sense, God is certainly in control because he could stop something by intervening in nature and, stop a storm like he actually did. But that doesn't mean he's up in heaven pushing a button to make each hurricane come down on your house or something like
that. Oh, if there was a hurricane button, I would push it. I just don't think I could resist, Jimmy. It would be so much fun
button?
To push the hurricane button, start a hurricane. I'm a terrible
person.
Just
do it on planets that don't have people.
Is this repartee? Or what's the other? Yeah. What's the word for it? Bamboo?
Badinage.
Badinage. Okay. Badinage. I'll be looking that one up.
We can engage in some airy persiflage later if you want.
I don't think I do want to.
Okay.
I'm scared of it. I feel like I'll crash land. David, you got one more question left. So you're playing this time for the book that Jimmy just mentioned, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. Are you ready and prepared?
I am, as long as you're not going to ask me to define any of those words that Jimmy's using.
No, I will not make you define any of those words. But you know what?
True.
I don't think he could say them in Pig Latin. So, and I'm not going to. I'm not asking.
Pay.
Oh, darn it.
Adonage pay.
All right, David. True or false? You ready? True or false? Jesus, Peter, and Paul were all executed by Roman authorities. David?
David? Yeah, I'm thinking.
No, I know you're thinking, but I want to say something again because I feel very worried about you. This, too, not a trick question. I don't want you to think I'm tricking you because we've emphasized that a lot, and I'm not trying to trick you on this one.
I'm going to go with true on this one.
Oh, David, you are correct.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, good.
Jesus was executed by the Roman authorities in AD 33. Peter was executed by the Roman authorities around AD 65 or 66. And Paul was executed by the Roman authorities around the year AD 67.
So I guess not a very good record for Roman authorities, but they did they did good
stuff,
too. They
kept knocking on these good guys. Yeah.
But they did keep their trains running on time. David, want me to tell you about...
The Romans had no trains.
Oh, they had no trains?
Yeah.
Wagon trains?
They were... Well...
Nothing like...
That's a different kind of
trains of thought. David, let me tell you some of the things that you've won. A Daily Defense, Jimmy Akin's fine book, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger by Gary Matuder. Prepare the Way, Carlo Broussard's fine book. Behold Your Mother. This is a virtual Catholic library you have won today. And Why We're Catholic from Trent Horn. Does that make you happy, David?
That's fantastic. Those are all great, great resources.
All righty. Well, I appreciate you playing. Stay on the line just to make sure that we have all of your data correct and we can send those things out to you.
Congratulations.
And thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
Congratulations to all the listeners playing along at home for their efforts as well.
We really do want you to play along at home. David, we'll send you on your way with those gifts with our thanks and congratulations. You're the second winner of the Catholic Answers as Yet Unnamed Game Show. If you played along at home and you got all of the answers correct, send us an envelope with a record of that and $500 in it, and we will send you an envelope with $400 in it.
What a deal.
We're guaranteed to do that for you.
I take that deal.
If you're a small child, ask your mother to explain that before you ask her to send the envelope, okay?
Yeah, and look up Soupy Sales on Wikipedia, too.
Jimmy, the reference is flying hot and heavy from you today. You are on fire.
Yeah, not
Jimmy
literally.
Del Fuego.
So I have a present for you.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
This is a present of knowledge.
Okay.
And yesterday on the show, you yes. mentioned that growing up, your favorite dinosaur was the Brontosaurus.
That's right.
Right?
You're right, yeah.
And now I like Brontosaurus just fine. My favorite dinosaur growing up was Triceratops.
Oh.
The one thing that the Brontosaurus and the Triceratops have in common is they were both initially described scientifically and named by a man named Othniel Marsh. And Othniel Marsh was one of the participants in what were called the Bone Wars. he and another guy named Ed Cope were rich guys in the 19th century, and they got in this conflict with each other where they were trying to outdo each other by discovering the most dinosaur species. And they would like hire these cowboys to go out in the West in Wyoming and Kansas and places and dig up fossils for them.
Wow.
And they got really bitter. At one point, Marsh humiliated Cope by pointing out that he'd put the head of a dinosaur on the end of its tail.
How is this not a movie, Jimmy Akin?
Well, it should be. They would do things like bribe people to send me the fossils instead of him, and they would destroy fossils, and it got really bitter.
Wow.
And they ended up bankrupting themselves and humiliating themselves in public. But it provided this huge service for science with more than 100 new species that were classified for the first time. And Marsh actually won. He got more species than Cope did. But Marsh's species, because of the conflict, they were really rushing to describe these species. They didn't take a lot of time. And the Brontosaurus was one of those. It had kind of a rushed description. It was very similar to a dinosaur that Marsh had already classified called the Apatosaurus. Looks very much like a Brontosaurus. And so after the Bone Wars were over in 1903, another guy came in and said, you know, the Brontosaurus is too close to count as a different species than an Apatosaurus.
Okay.
And because of the rules of the naming convention, that means the term Brontosaurus theoretically went away and all those fossils were going to be called Apatosauruses. And so that explains the story that you mentioned yesterday, hearing that the Brontosaurus doesn't exist, it's been reclassified and so forth.
Oh.
Well, the thing is, in 2015, here's where the present of knowledge
comes. Now, here we go.
In 2015, a study was published by some scientists who took like almost 500 measurements of Brontosaurus fossils, these different characteristics they were looking at, and they concluded, based on, among other things, differences in the head and neck, that indeed Brontosauruses are a different species than Apatosaurus.
Now, they're back?
Yeah. Now, it's not everyone agrees. Some people are still saying we need to do more work on Apatosauruses. But broadly speaking, Brontosauruses have been considered resurrected in the scientific sense.
Jimmy, that is a present.
Yeah.
Thank you. That you're making my Friday. That is great.
I also have a theory about Brontosauruses.
Okay.
I got it from Miss Ann Elk.
Are you going to share it? Jimmy, your theory of...
Well, it's hers. It's Miss Ann Elk's theory.
I am so confused right now. Miss Ann Elk?
Yeah. Ann Elk, brackets, Miss Brackets.
Ann Elk, brackets, Miss Brackets.
Do you want to know her theory?
Yes.
Okay, so her theory is all Brontosauruses are thin at one end, much, much thicker in the middle, and thin again at the far end.
That is a brilliant theory. She's a scientist, isn't she?
Yeah, hits the nail on its head, doesn't it?
Boy, it sure does. Yeah. I'm glad that Brontosaurus might be. Did you have, like, in the 1960s, there were children's books that I don't think they were very good at color then. So they were usually like three-color books.
Mm-hmm.
But they could really – I loved the ones that showed anything with space. Like, this is what moon bases will look like in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the 1990s.
Yeah, right, by the 1990s. And the dinosaur ones. And I guess there's some drawing of a Brontosaurus that caught my eye because Brontosaurus was my favorite as a kid.
Uh-huh.
It also could be that it's the biggest. And I always was obsessed with biggest and best.
Yeah, well, these days it's not the biggest.
What?
They're bigger
ones. You ruined everything.
But it's in the same general class as a Brontosaurus.
Well, I just hope somebody will find their DNA and bring them all back. And
that would be cool.
That'd be awesome. You haven't seen Jurassic World, have you?
Yeah, I did. That one's set in San Diego.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Right. Well, Jimmy Akin has been our super secret celebrity guest. The secret is out. That is who it was. Thank you so much to Eric and to David who played our game show.
Yeah.
I think we're getting better at this game show. I like it. I'm going to keep it. Your feedback is always welcome at radio@catholic.com. If you'd like to appear as a contestant on the game show, just join Radio Club. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com and sign up for Radio Club. Thank you, Jimmy. I enjoyed being with you, I think, three times this week.
Yeah, unusual, but always a pleasure.
And very welcome. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.